This week on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Save big money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Back to our conversation in just a moment. You know, we've been talking about ghost stories, obviously, for more than a decade here. So when I first heard about Ghost Bed, the name got my attention. And we've talked about it before on the air here, but here's why it kept my attention. The products are genuinely great. I've got a Ghost Bed at home, and I've had a pillow for years, too, from them. And my whole family sleeps on their pillows. Once you try them, the old ones that, you know, you may have gotten elsewhere, they just don't cut it. Ghost Bed is family run, more than 20 years in the industry now. They make everything from mattresses and adjustable bases to pillows and bedding. And they got more than 100,000 reviews from happy customers. That's something I always look for no matter what I get. What do the reviews look like? With Ghost Bed, they're great. This isn't some unknown sleep brand. They've been doing this a long time, and it shows. Lots of loyal customers, including me. Every Ghost Bed mattress that is out there also comes with cooling built right in. Not an upgrade you have to pay extra for. It's just part of it. And if you're not sure which mattress is right for you, head to ghostbed.com/ghost and take their mattress quiz. You answer a few questions about how you sleep, and you'll get a personalized recommendation from their collection based on what your answers are. With Ghost Bed, you get fast, free shipping and 101 nights to try out your new mattress. If it's not right for you, you can get your money back. Right now, check this out. You can take advantage of the spring sale pricing. Just use code GHOST. It gets you an extra 10% off. Upgrade your sleep with Ghost Bed, the makers of the coolest beds in the world. That's ghostbed.com/ghost, code GHOST, for an extra 10% off site-wide. Some exclusions apply. See site for details.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, it was a normal night at a Civil War reenactment, people talking, moving around camp, and he followed another soldier around the barn and realized that no one else had seen the soldier.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you very much for listening. And if you have a real ghost story, share it with us, because we like that sort of thing. You can call it in if you want to do that. It's 855-853-4802. You could write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com and become a premium subscriber if you'd like. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Do that through Apple Podcasts or Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories. Kathy Gordon, girl, you are going to love this story today.
Oh, my gosh. You know I love Civil War. You and I just stopped at a Civil War site when we were in Arkansas.
We did.
At the Battle of Pea Ridge.
Pea Ridge.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have a ton of time to stay there because we had to go see our friend Tony.
Ruski.
Yes, who y'all love. But I do want to go back. We did just a little bit of stuff, and I do want to go back next time I get a chance to spend a little bit more time.
It still does crack me up that we were so close to Tony's, and I never was like, hey, why don't we come by? I didn't realize it was so close.
I did because I've taken students from Eureka Springs over there to the Crystal Bridges Art Museum. So I knew, you know, it was just a little drive over there, but I thought, you know, maybe you had to get home.
Well, and that's what Tony thought, and that's what Harper thought. Like, everybody was thinking, oh, I guess Carol's just tight on time and can't swing by. And I'm the whole time like, oh, my God, that's how close this is. Let's go to Tony's.
Yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it.
Sure. So we did. It was really fun. He made us a delightful lunch. But we did get a stop at the Civil War battlefield. And it's really, anytime you are at a place like that, it's so strange because you look out across, it's like nice rolling hills there. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It's serene. The birds are chirping. And then you think, what happened on that land? How horrific.
And they have oftentimes a similar look of it's an open area, you know, that they found to have this battle on. And it just gives you all the feels when mm-hmm. you're standing there. At least it does for me, because I've always been just absolutely fascinated with the Civil War, as you guys know. And it just really, it gets me right in the heart every time.
Well, because you and I had talked about this that day, and we didn't have the specifics, but at that location, and you know when they say casualties, that could be wounded or missing soldiers as well as people who have died. But 1,384 Union casualties and about 2,000 Confederate. And when you go there now, it's so peaceful and beautiful and mm-hmm. well taken care of. There's cannons out in the middle of the field to remind you of what really did happen there. But it's mm-hmm. just something else.
It really is. It just is. And, you know, I'm glad that the National Park Service takes such good care of those sites. I can't imagine what those Park Service guys run into if we're thinking about spirits and hauntings. No question in my mind, right,
well,
that they would.
Over the years, I've heard a number of stories similar to this that they are reenactors mm-hmm. and they don't realize that that person they think is a person is not a reenactor because, you know, it is kind of strange that you're dressing up like these men from the Civil mm-hmm. War and you're reenacting a battle. Mm-hmm. And so it wouldn't be strange to see someone in a uniform and you would mm-hmm. think it's a real person, mm-hmm. you know? So I don't know. Let's dive into this story.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Hi. I used to do a lot of Civil War reenactments when I lived back east. And this happened on an actual battlefield that happened in the Civil War. And on the weekends, we used to have them. And they used to have our tents set up just they had, you know, during the Civil War. And After the battle, I was getting ready to go to sleep, you know, turn in. The porta-johns, the porta-potties on our side, they were kind of out of order and they needed to be taken care of. And we were on the Confederate side, but the Union side was on the other side around this big red barn that's been there since like the Revolutionary times. That's how old that was. So we had posted sentries, you know, guards like they did way back then. I didn't exactly know where they were, and they said, hey, you know, where are those porta-johns? He goes, oh, those are on the other side of this big red barn. I said, you know, cool, thanks a lot. So I went around the barn, and I used a port-a-john and did my business. And so as I was walking back, there was absolutely no noise, and the air felt really kind of crisp, like the hair on the back of my neck was standing up, almost like static electricity. And, before I went into the port-a-john, there's a bunch of noise, you know, people kind of like, not partying, but everybody was talking and laughing, and you could just hear a bunch of like camp noise, you know, because we're like camping out kind of thing. But when I stepped out of the port-a-john, it was dead quiet, like real strange. As I stepped out toward the barn, there was a guy in like his Confederate uniform, and that wasn't weird or nothing, because we're all like in uniform, and sometimes we're out, you know, we're in our civilian stuff, like t-shirts and shorts and maybe sweatpants. But this guy was like, not saying anything, but he was like waving me on, like, you know, come on, let's go around, you know, follow me around the barn. And since I was Confederate, he was dressed as a Confederate, I thought, wow, maybe he knows me, and maybe somebody's messing with my tent or something, or maybe he needs help. I was like, you know, okay, I'm coming. And he ducked around the barn, and I kind of hurried, and I got to the corner of the barn, and I walked alongside the barn. And as I got to the other side of the barn, where now was on our side, he was gone. And I kind of jumped out and looked around like, you know, I better catch this guy because I don't know what's going on. I stepped down. There was that sentry again, the guard. And I go, hey, where'd that guy go? And he goes, what guy? And I go, well, you know, I stood down the port-a-john, and he was like at the corner of the barn waving me like something was about to happen. So I kind of ran into the barn and went to catch up with him, and now he's gone. And he goes, hey, buddy, I didn't see anybody. And I kind of got like a chill running up to the back of my spine. And I go, are you sure? And he goes, yeah, man. You've been the only guy that's really walked by me the whole time. And I kind of got freaked out. I kind of shook it off. And I didn't know what to think. But if you got any ideas, because I thought maybe, I don't know, maybe there's like some kind of a time warp, or maybe a stuck in time, or maybe he was even a ghost, because that was a battlefield or something, or something, you know. And you know, I didn't know what happened, but maybe there was like a, you know, like I said, maybe there was like a little glimpse of time, or a time portal, or something that, you know, I didn't know what had happened. But hey, you know, I love your show, and let me know what you guys think. You know, was it a time portal? Was he a ghost? Or if, you know, what would have happened if I had caught up to him? Would I step through a window or something? But yeah, it's been like well over 20 years since I've done reenactings and stuff. But yeah, let me know what you think. You know, like I said, I love your show. I've been listening to you guys for years, and I am a member of, you know, of the club there. And bye.
So that is an interesting question. What was it?
And he has really thought this out too, because those are some of the things that would cross your mind, right? Is it a portal? Is it a time warp? What do you think about the residual thing?
It certainly could be a residual haunting, but it seemed like it kind of was waving at him to come on. The guy took it like he was trying to get him to come on, so that doesn't feel residual to me.
It feels like he was interacting with the guy,
but,
right?
You know, I don't, was it at night? You know, could he see him clearly? Could the guy have just been like looking at other soldiers? Like he did see a residual haunting and he thinks he's looking at him, but he's not. And he's,
oh, that like, could be, yeah. You know, that it just happened to be the actions of this spirit or ghost, I'm going to go with ghost, were he was able to interpret it that he was interacting with him when he really wasn't. It was just Correct. Something he does. Okay, that's a possibility. Time warp wise, I like the time warp thing. We've talked about this before with Civil War battlefields, where does it happen to be that you just catch a glimpse of something that had happened?
Which could be, that could be a residual haunting.
You know, but I mean, it's more of a time warp. It's not just that this is a loop that's happening over and over, but that you actually see into 1865. Or is it just, is it a ghost that's there, trapped there, really did see him, and just kind of comes and goes on that site? Which one of those do you like best?
I'm kind of, the way he was like, come on, follow me, makes it feel kind of residual. Like he, it's something that he does all the time.
Okay. I feel like it's the last one where there is a spirit and he is sort of interacting with the people.
And he could be because he thinks he's seeing other soldiers. I think he said he was a Confederate soldier. This guy was a Confederate soldier. Mm-hmm. So he sees his own people. He's like, come on, go this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But very strange, because he said right before all that, he had that weird electrical feeling.
Mm-hmm. That you and then the get. Sound went just real quiet, too. Mm-hmm. I think he saw a ghost.
Yeah, and there just are so many stories of people at battlefields and hearing mm-hmm. cannons, they hear drums, they hear people talking, they see mm-hmm. apparitions, you know. I just mm-hmm. think there's just what happened on that land, that energy, that trauma doesn't go away completely.
Yeah, and we have, it. The battlefield ones are interesting to me too, or even like the fort in Philadelphia, Mifflin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When the people have said they had a tour guide who was so great, and they're like, we don't have a tour guide.
Yeah.
Or the woman who thought she saw a reenactor who was speaking fluent French. Mm-hmm. And, but he was so real. And it's kind of this way too. They're so incredibly real. People think it's one of their other Civil War reenactors. Or,
yeah, because I think, you know, a lot of times you wouldn't even think about it. You might see a ghost, but you don't realize
but
it.
But you don't even know.
You think it's another guy that's right. come to do the reenactment.
Mm-hmm. But this time it changed, because when he said, oh, yeah, okay, I'm coming to help you out or whatever it is you need, the second he got around and he should have been able to see him.
Yeah.
And he knew it. The distance and so forth. You know, when you go around a building and somebody should still be there, right? They have a, they're not that far in front of you or whatever. But he's gone. And what a, that had to have been just a jolt
yeah.
when that happened.
That is, you know, so strange.
I definitely think he saw a ghost.
And to be honest, I think he might have seen them before and not ever known it. Mm-hmm. If he's done reenactment or had done reenactments for a while.
True.
He
Very
might
true.
Not ever know it. He might have seen quite a, it might happen to him every time he did a reenactment. He just didn't
the
know.
Only, my only disappointment in this story is that he didn't tell us what battle it was.
Yeah, we would have liked to have known.
I would have liked to have known what battle.
So we could have okay. looked it up.
Yes, we always like to do our research on these things.
But thank you very much for that story. I find that just to be fascinating.
Yeah, fascinating. You saw a ghost.
Yes, agreed. You saw a ghost of a Confederate soldier.
Yes.
So here's our next story. It says, this happened when I was probably around 11 or 12. My dad and I were living in an older house that had been in our family for a long time. It had been passed down through a few generations. A lot of different people had lived there over the years. I knew that growing up, but I never really thought about it because it felt like a normal house. One afternoon, I got home from school. Nobody was there yet. That was normal. My dad worked later than I got out of school, so I was used to having the place to myself for a while. I threw my stuff down, turned on the TV, sat in the living room like I always did. After a little bit, I heard the back door slam. It was loud enough that I immediately thought my dad had come home. That was honestly my first thought, but then when I looked at the time, I knew there was no way it was him yet. So I sat there for a second trying to make sense of it. We had a screen door on the back of the house that could make a pretty loud noise if it hit just right. So I figured, well, it must have been the wind. I went back there to check. The door was closed, not just closed, but latched like it hadn't been opened at all. And that gave me a weird feeling, but I still tried to explain it away. I went back and sat down again. I was definitely paying more attention now. A few minutes later, it happened again, the exact same sound. I got right up, went back there, and again, nothing had changed. The door was still shut, still latched, nothing moved. I don't really know how to explain it, but I got a weird feeling like I wasn't alone anymore. Like someone was behind me or just out of sight. I kept turning around, expecting to see something, but there wasn't anything there. I remember walking back toward the living room, stopping for a second, kind of listening like I was waiting for something to happen. Then the door slammed again. At that point, I wasn't even trying to figure it out anymore. I just stood there and said out loud something like, "All right, just stop." I don't know why I said that. It just kind of came out. But after that, it did stop. No more noise or nothing. But it didn't feel right. That feeling didn't go away. I stayed in the house for maybe another minute or two, but I was so uncomfortable, I ended up going outside and sitting on the porch until my dad got home. When he finally pulled up, I went inside with him. I told him what had happened. I was expecting him to tell me it was nothing or that I was just overthinking it, but he didn't. He just kind of listened and said something like, "Yeah, stuff like that happens here sometimes," and that was it. I think that bothered me more than what had just happened. I asked him what he meant. He kind of shrugged and said, with how many people had lived in that house over the years, it wouldn't be that strange if something was still around. He even mentioned one of our relatives who used to live there said he could see him doing something like that. He said it like it was normal. After that, I didn't really know what to think. Things like that didn't happen all the time, but every once in a while, I'd hear something or get that feeling when I was alone. And I'd do the same thing I did that first day. I would just say something out loud, and it always seemed to calm down after that. I never saw anything, never heard a voice, nothing like that. It was always just sounds or that feeling. After a few years, I moved out. I was back visiting my dad, and it came up randomly. I don't even remember what we were talking about, but something reminded me of that day, and I asked him if he remembered it. He said, "Yeah." So I asked him again what he actually thought was going on back then because I realized I'd never gotten a straight answer from him. And he said, "That house always had stuff like that. You just learn to ignore it." And that was it. No explanation, no story, nothing more to it than that. I remember just kind of sitting there for a second because I don't think I ever really realized that it wasn't just a one-time thing for him. It was something that he had gotten used to. I still don't know what was going on in that house, but I do know whatever it was, it didn't seem strange to him. Anyway, love the show. That's from Braden. You know, it's funny because we talk about that a lot. Like, you know, years have passed now. Go ask that person about it. Have a conversation. So he does. And Dad's like, "Yeah, whatever." Stuff like that happened.
I know, because you want to say, like, the dad goes, "Yeah, these things happen here, you know. For example." Like, give me an example, Dad. What happened to you? How do you know that? You know, and apparently Dad was not interested in telling about it.
Right?
What had happened to
him. Well, and Dad was like, it's just one of those things.
Yeah, you know, you ghosts, you see them, they're here, they're not, whatever. You know, and
I could get for him, he wants more of an explanation. Like, what are you talking about? Things like that just happen, you know?
Yeah, because when you've lived with a ghost, especially as a kid, it brings up all kinds of questions for the rest of your life. You know, was that real? Was it not? Was it? And you want either validation one way or another, where the adults in the room could say, "Yes, actually, things happened to me as well," right? Or, "No, I never had anything happen in that house, and whatever. I liked the fact that the dad was open to saying you're there's he didn't act like there was anything wrong with Braden, right? He didn't say, no, that kind of stuff never happens, just forget about it or whatever. He really did say, yeah, you know, that could be the case. But he wasn't actually being sympathetic about it either.
I think you want to have a conversation about it. And it's like you and dad sitting around, maybe having a beer, talking about the hauntings in the house and what could it be and what happened to you? You know, I think he wants that, a conversation.
Yes, he but definitely he didn't wanted get it.
So now I'm thinking over the years, all of the times that I have said, you know, have a conversation with them. Years have gone by. You know, talk to them about that. How many people have been like, yeah, I took Carol's advice and nothing? Like, they won't talk about it or...
Yeah, it happened, whatever. But I think at the time it happened, I always, you know, when something's creepy like that, you want a little sympathy, right? I just was scared to death, right? And he's like, yeah, whatever. Like, no, I want you to acknowledge my feelings.
Well, acknowledge it and add to it.
So
like,
scared.
What happened to you?
Right? Like, validate it. Because you just told me it happened, so let me know what. But scared enough that poor Braden went and sat on the porch till dad came home. Didn't even want to be inside.
Which is a great idea, by the way.
Which you and I used to do all the time. I just look at it, think, you want some... You know, one way or another, right? But dad was like, yeah, it happens. Okay, and what, Dad? Follow up. You know, I need a story or two from you about
this. And
maybe
dad's kind of like that about everything, you know?
Maybe.
Maybe that's just his dad, but...
Yeah.
Still, it's like you want to have a conversation, and that's all he got. Yeah.
So, in Braden's defense for somebody looking at this story and actually talking with him about it, the very first door thing, I thought, well, maybe he came in the door and hadn't latched it all the way and the wind caught it, came along and then slammed it shut. But that doesn't explain the next two times.
But he said it was locked after the first time. It wouldn't have slammed shut and locked itself.
No, it definitely wouldn't have done that.
So it never did slam.
And it can't do it again two times, you know. And then just the creepy feeling that something was there and had that feeling. And like you said, he never saw anything necessarily or heard anything but felt it. And I think that's just as relevant.
I think something was trying to get his attention and did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it did. But I think that we all can have... our experiences in different ways. Now, some people may hear more things and some people may see entities and so forth. And some of us just may have the sixth sense that we feel them. And so I think Braden just had a, you know, that he was able to physically feel the presence and the energy of something in the room with him. But I think with him, it was more of just he felt it in the room.
Oh, it was trying to get his attention.
Which is every bit as valid to me as any other way that it
happens. With three big door slams, something was... There's some poltergeist activity going on.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know.
Something was going on there.
And then the weird feeling. So, yeah. But it's weird. It was a one-off.
Yeah.
If you have a real ghost story, you can call it in if you want to. 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And you can become a premium subscriber. No commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Thank you.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.